broadcast may contain free thinking and open-minded discussion, ideas, skepticism, and adult subject matter. Topics will be discussed using adult language, sometimes gratuitously. Get ready to move the conversation forward. This ain't your granddad's news and comment show. This is I Doubt It Podcast with Brittany Page and Jesse Dalamore.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Episode 931, I Doubt a Podcast. Joined today, I am Jesse Dalamore, who is joined today by Brittany Page.
So, we are going to do an unconventional show, a typical show, where we just kind of talk about the election results, which were not good, I think we all know at this point. And we have several voicemails, several emails to play. We posted on the Patreon community and invited you all to give us your feedback in terms of what you're feeling, what you're doing to cope, what you've been doing, and what you're thinking about. And we selected some of those to go through. But I think first we should just kind of start with where we are at and what we're thinking about, maybe even what process we've been going through since Tuesday night, because we did a 6-hour live stream on election night on your channel, Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know that Jesse has a YouTube channel. And it felt a lot like...
Yeah, deja vu, man.
When we've done election live streams in the past, like when Donald Trump won the first time, and there was this sense that it couldn't happen again, right? That we knew too much this time. We were really informed going into this who and what Donald Trump was. It wasn't just a theory anymore like it was in 2016.
Yeah, it was kind of like for some unjustified reason that I had regained my faith in the American people. That maybe people had learned their lesson and were listening to the warning signs. And instead, what we learned, it seems, is they were listening to the warning signs and decided they liked the sound of fascism and an all-out assault on civil and human rights in this country. I'm ready for the fight. If I said this on YouTube, that if you thought I was aggressive before, maybe my content specifically isn't going to be for you going forward, because I'm radicalized. Mm-hmm. So to speak now. Mm-hmm. More so than I ever have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fight doesn't just exist against Donald Trump and those he will put in place. The fight is also against the majority of American voters who, even the ones... Like, look, I'm not going to be...
This is going to be all over the place today, so just prepare for it.
I'm not going to be one who's like, I want to make sure that even the people who voted for Trump aren't harmed. Fuck them.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but I also see that there's no way to inflict the harm that is coming only on the people who brought it on themselves.
No. I don't mean inflicting the harm. Mm-hmm. It's when the harm does come, they're getting no fucking sympathy from me. The people who deserve the sympathy and the advocacy will get it. But if you voted for Donald Trump, and then your family gets deported, I will mourn for your family, unless they didn't vote because they're being deported. But I'm not going to have sympathy for people who are then now struggling financially because of what's to come. I'm not going to have sympathy for them. For the people who deserve the sympathy, they will get it. If you vote for Trump, fuck off forever.
So I think... I have a list of things that I kind of want to go through.
Yeah,
and
I'll let you just take control here.
And I will say, I think you haven't been angry this whole time. It seems like you're angry now, right? Because we're sitting down to talk about it. But I will say for me, I think the terror comes in waves. And there's sometimes that I'm so angry, I feel like I can't focus on anything else but how angry I am. And then there's sometimes where I am crying, thinking about what's to come. And so it's been a really rough week. I want to start with something that you said earlier, which is that you had believed the best in people, something to that effect. And, you know, I did too, and I still do, and I'm not going to be shamed for believing the best in people or trying to believe that the best was possible or even still trying to do that now, because I don't think it's a useful place to exist or to live to let the defeatism come in and tell us that it's over now. And some of this plays into, like, don't grant the fascists powers they don't have. I've been seeing that a lot lately online, including from Joanne Freeman, someone that you're a big fan of, Jesse. And, you know, we shouldn't be saying we're never going to have elections again. We're, you know, it's over. There's no hope, blah, blah, blah. We don't want to feed into the hopelessness and the defeat, even though we have an uphill battle here.
That's at risk. That is certainly at risk.
We have an uphill battle here, but we don't want people. And let me just say, given our platform, we have received hundreds of voicemails, of emails. If we include comments in that, it's thousands of communication items from people where they are ready to never vote again.
Yeah.
They are ready to disengage from politics completely. They are at the end of their rope.
And that's granting the ultimate victory to the side that wants, many of them want us dead.
And that's why I don't find it particularly useful when the hopelessness and defeat enters the conversation.
Yeah, I'm not hopeless or defeated. Yeah. I'm angry and ready to fucking fight.
Yeah, and I'm not saying people should definitely be taking breaks, tuning out for a bit. We have certainly done that this week. That's why you didn't hear from us after the election. I mean, we did a 6-hour live stream and we woke up the next morning and it was horrible. I don't think we did anything the day after the election. So yeah, I'm just,
well, let me say this about feeling positive or hopeful about people and the goodness, inherent goodness in people. I'm using the language I'm using very specifically when I say the majority of American voters, because the majority of Americans didn't vote. You know, a lot of people are too busy surviving, earning a living, getting their lives in some semblance of order, and they don't feel that politics matters to them. They don't. There's still a massive section, cross-section of America that can be reached, and they need to be communicated to when things invariably, just like they did the first time, when they turn for them in a negative way, to communicate to them, this is why. This is why politics matters. This is why voting matters. Your small part in democracy, it matters.
Totally. And there's obviously been a huge discussion over what went wrong in the Harris campaign. A lot of pointing of fingers, I would say. And I don't find those conversations particularly useful. In fact, what I see in a lot of the conversations that I'm seeing in the analysis of what went wrong is people really trying to reassure themselves about how they were right or about how the action that they took, whether that's taking no action or taking actions that actually hurt Democrats in the election, trying to reassure themselves that they were right. And I'm not really interested in that, right? I think it's useful to look at what happened and figure out what went wrong and do all that. It's not going to happen in the 4 days since the election.
Yeah, that's a longer term action item.
But I would beware of people that you're seeing who are really immediately turning to pointing fingers and trying to reassure the audiences that they have that they were right about everything. I find that selfish and stupid and not where our focus should be. I'm more worried about the people who, you know, went to work after this and continued to engage with activism and are looking for ways to be in community and to help. And I think there's also been a conversation online of, we need a liberal Joe Rogan. I've heard this pretty frequently, that we need a liberal Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I'm giving that a little space, only because that could mean a number of different things.
Well, it's to challenge the right-wing control of media. If you look at the top 10 podcasts, right-wing. If you look at the media infrastructure, it's,
for sure,
it's tilted toward the right.
Yeah, when Donald Trump lost in 2016, in 2020, they rallied. They didn't like, I'm never voting again. You had Charlie fucking Kirk get out there and do a series of rally events with Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action and Turning Point this and Turning Point that. You have white nationalist conventions hosted by Nick Fuentes. I mean, they didn't cower. They didn't surrender. They didn't lay down.
Mm-hmm.
They rallied the fucking troops and devastated 4 years later.
Yeah, and some of the, like, I saw a left-wing commentator say something about, along the lines of, we need a liberal Joe Rogan. They were talking about certain left-wing people that they think could fill that role if they were to get funding. And let me just take a step back. Joe Rogan is a conspiracy theorist,
mm-hmm.
and he is a right-wing influencer. He does have a political show, and typically people will say about him that he agrees with whoever is sitting in front of him. And while that's not totally untrue, there's one interview that you can go listen to that really illustrates how that's not factual, and it's with Dr. Sanjay Gupta. If you watch his interview with Dr. Sanjay Gupta, you will see that even when he's sitting across from someone he disagrees with, he's still a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
And he still struggles to accept reality and how reality is. So that's who Joe Rogan fundamentally is. But we have, I think the main problem with this whole argument of we need a liberal Joe Rogan, is that we have a right-wing infrastructure that exists to only criticize Democrats and tear them down. And then we have a left-wing media infrastructure where most of the top names in that are also primarily invested in criticizing and dismantling the Democratic Party. And I'm not saying that we need something that is cult-like. I think it's going to be difficult to do the balance of not being cultists with obtaining power. But, like, you know, a lot of leftists will criticize Pod Save America, for example.
Yeah.
But Pod Save America is kind of like the liberal Joe Rogan, right? Without conspiracy theories and things like that. They are very democratic, hardline, defending the Democratic Party. And in order to obtain power, you guys, in order to implement policies that will improve people's lives, we need to get Democrats elected. We don't get anything without Democrats being in power. So I think it is a difficult situation, though, where I have already talked about on previous episodes that I am connected to people personally who call themselves leftists, who spent these past few months only criticizing and attacking Democrats and, in fact, engaging in protest voting. And I have gone to them after the election, and their primary issue was Gaza. And I have said, what happens for Gaza now? Like, what happens with the advocacy for Gaza? And one of those people responded to me essentially that it's further broken glass at this point, right? Which really shows me some of the priorities, right, of those on the left. Either we want to obtain power to improve people's lives and we're willing to do what's necessary to get that, or everything is performative. And I hate to use the phrase because conservatives have co-opted it, but virtue signaling. If you, prior to the election, were posting about what you were doing to feel better, to make yourself feel better about your vote, and it was constantly about you and making yourself feel better, that tells me a lot. And I have those same people in my life who are now posting things about how afraid they are for the LGBTQ community, how afraid they are for mass deportations, given that that radical was just put in charge of the border.
Tom Homan.
Who on 60 Minutes said, in response to a question about, is there a way to humanely deport people while keeping families together? And he said, yes, you deport them together as families. those people are now posting about their concerns about what's going to happen to people.
Yeah.
Where was your concern when we could have staved off the harm?
Yeah.
That's when we needed your solidarity. That's when we needed your concern. And I think, you know, I would say I'm hoping this is a lesson that people can learn, but it's going to be a lesson learned with people's lives.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
And
by the way, that's not to say, because I know you're not saying they're the sole reason. We're not doing the after action report analysis of this is why Kamala Harris and Tim Walz lost. This is why we lost. This is why America lost. We're not doing that. This is one of maybe 30 reasons why.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's complicated. It's a complicated picture. But I think we all need to take a step back and figure out, one, where do we go from here? And two, how can we make progress and not allow this to happen again? I want to say, too, given that there has been an increase in public harassment, racism, you had those text messages that went out to kids as young as, I think, in middle school about showing up for the plantation and picking cotton. I've seen videos of harassment from men in MAGA hats toward Black women.
That was starting on election night,
right?
Of some dipshit in a Grand Junction, Colorado, Five Guys harassing a Latino worker, calling him a slur, screaming about colonizing, and it's a replay of 2016. It's exactly what we saw in 2016. I saw my first fucking MAGA hat from some dipshit in D.C. yesterday morning,
right,
who unzipped his jacket with his No Surrender Trump shirt under his jacket with his MAGA hat on. That's the first time. We've lived here for almost 3 years, and that's the very first MAGA hat I've ever seen, and it just so happened to be days, hours after Donald Trump won the election.
Yeah.
This is what's to come here.
And so I would say to people who can, I guess, be ready to stand in the gap for abuse or harassment that you see in public. If you can, if that's an ability that you have, I would recommend that you do that.
Yes.
And I understand some people can't for whatever reason. And I understand that. But if you can, please, because I have seen these videos and I have seen people be spectators. And I would like as many people as possible to think about now what they would do in a situation where they're seeing someone be abused or harassed by a racist. Because we do need to return to community, right? And figure out where we're going from here. And I think, you know, I don't just want to be talking about what went wrong and, you know, all this. I also want to talk a little bit about what has been hopeful about this period. And I will say for me, I am surrounded by doers. And my therapist friends got up after Election Day and they went to work. I have friends who took calls on 988, the suicide hotline, to talk to young trans people who are afraid for what's to come in this administration. I have friends who worked with young kids who are afraid in therapy of what's going to happen now that Donald Trump is in charge. I have friends who are showing up in their communities and doing important work. And it may be corny, but, you know, Mr. Rogers has that quote where you look for the helpers when there is a conflict going on. And I think that's been useful for me to take a step back and look at the people in my life who have, even as they are feeling scared, even as they are feeling terrified, even as though they are trying to figure out what the steps forward are, that they are still showing up in their communities. And I will say, you know, I've been volunteering at a local mental hospital here in DC for over a year, and that has been a really great experience. I just applied to be a clinic defender here in DC as well. there are, if you can, many different volunteer opportunities at food banks. You know, choose something that you're interested in and see if you can volunteer in the community, because those are the things that we can control. Those are the ways that we can show up to be of service to other people and to get to know like-minded people who care about the things that we care about too. So I also want to say we've gotten a lot of messages from people who are unsubscribing, people who are deleting their pledge on Patreon, people who are, you know, done and disconnected, and they're taking breaks from political stuff. And I totally respect that.
We get it.
I totally understand. Please do whatever you need to do. I also want to say we've always tried to be more than that on this show. We talk media criticism. We talk about good news, right? And taking care of biz. We try to joke around and laugh even in the bad times. And we plan to continue doing that because it's important. We started the show 10 years ago. We went through an entire Trump administration. We try to be very cautious when we're planning the show to not have it be singularly focused on doom and gloom and balance the important things that we need to be focusing on with trying to have some levity too. So we understand you taking a break, but I just wanted to say that as well.
It's important to take care of yourself, to love yourself, be kind to yourself, to be concerned about your mental health. And if that means checking out for a while, forever, I think is damaging to the rest of us, to the country. But to just get your arms around yourself to whether it be months, whether it be weeks, whether it be days, take care of yourself. Don't be ashamed of it. Fucking do it. If you need to turn off your Patreon support, cancel it for good, fucking do that. We want you to be happy and healthy, to be ready for the fight that will continue and that is going to be starting very soon. And we need everybody in a good place.
Yeah. So I think we're going to hear from some listeners now. We have a couple of voicemails and then we're going to go through some emails. This first one is from Carissa in Pennsylvania.
Hey guys, Carissa. I'm sure you have a million voicemails. What the fuck? How did this happen? I am really surrounded by monsters. Like, that's the truth. We're surrounded by monsters. And so handily, I don't understand. I think I'm just going to have to take a break from politics, podcasts, TikTok, YouTube, unsubscribed. I don't know. I'm done. I can't. I don't think I'm going to ever vote again. I know that's a bad attitude to have, but did it make a difference that I had the right attitude? We won't have to vote again because this motherfucker promised we wouldn't have to. And I think he's going to make that real. I don't know who else to talk to. I mean, I have friends and family a little bit, but, you know, fuck! I can't even. I love you guys. Brittany, you're still the best part.
Love the show. Brittany's the best part. Bye.
It's where we get the drop. It's from Carissa. Couple things. If you need us unsubscribe, you need to stop listening to this show. You do what you need to do to take care of you, Carissa. We love you. Secondly, I want to separate everybody from this emotion that they have that voting doesn't matter. Trump won. Yeah, he won this time. But you know when he didn't win? And you know when Republicans didn't win? 2018, 2020, 2022... We have dominated in elections. Now, again, over the course of the next weeks or months, there will be analysis. We will be able to fully get a more fulsome picture of what took place and what went wrong. and what groups broke which way relative to what their reasons were or whatever else. But voting does fucking work, and it does fucking matter. We have been able to stave off insane amounts of damage that would have been caused by Donald Trump and the Republicans otherwise hadn't Democrats won in elections. This is one loss. A big one, yes. But voting absolutely matters.
Yeah. And
take care of yourself, Krissa.
I second all of that, and I don't know, maybe it's a little weird that we're like encouraging people to stop listening to the show.
But we always do, though. Yeah, if it's best for you, do what's best for you.
We genuinely mean that. And it's not like we're low-key trying to quit the show or something. Like, no, we're still going to be here. Even if fewer people are listening. But I do think it's important for people to take care of themselves. And I know that when someone is saying, like someone like Krissa, who has been so involved and so dedicated to staying in the know about things that are going on in the world, that this is kind of the first response toward the grief that we're feeling.
It's almost like nothing I did fucking mattered because look what happened.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
But also, like I said earlier, keep in mind, it's only the majority of voters who did this to us. There are tens and tens of millions of people, adults, people who have the right to vote, who don't vote because they either don't think it matters to them or they're too busy scratching out a living.
Yeah.
And by the way, the power structure, Republicans, that's the way they want it.
Absolutely.
They want people too focused on survival to get involved and get active in politics.
And they want people to be brainwashed into believing that rich guys like Donald Trump and Elon Musk care about those working people, care about the poor people, care about people that are struggling, and they don't. And we're going to find that out real quick.
Yeah, we
are. And that is something that is very concerning to me, something that is top of mind, something that I'm very stressed out about. But yeah, so Krissa, you actually represented so much of what we were hearing, and I hope you're taking care of yourself, and you know,
she's probably already peaced out. She's not even going to listen.
Yeah. Well, I hope not. I hope not. So we have another voicemail. This one is a two-parter, so it's going to drop into kind of a second wind thought. We're not playing the first part. This is the second part, and this is from Tina in Houston.
This is my second call. Normally, I do one and hang up. But this is... it's hard. And out of all the podcast people, you're the only one who gives your phone number to allow us to be able to talk to you, to vent, for you to hear from your actual people. I hope that me being a black woman who is on disability is one of the actual people that you do support. But I throw my hands up. I will continue to watch, and you guys take your money out of the account. As long as I'm getting disability, y'all will always get something. But this all is going to hell in a handbasket. And the person that's going to hurt the most is white people. Because we are so used to politicians using black people for toilet paper to wipe their ass with. Especially white nationalist Christians doing it at their expense of laughing at our ass. Saying how dare black people think that they're going to be able to be equal because we want slavery back. I wish you and Brittany luck. I really do. Because the United States is not for black and brown people. And majority of the brown people if you really ask them, they don't consider themselves as Mexican, Latino. They consider themselves as white. And they vote for Trump because to them, as long as they're not black, they're better. You have a nice day.
Thank you for the call, Tina. There's a lot of truth in what Tina said there. There is a wide swath of the American voter base that as long as black people are being harmed by the policies or not given something, they'll take the hit and lean into harm that will come their way too. This is the Southern strategy was built on this. Lee Atwater talked at length while using the N-word multiple times about people are willing to sacrifice. That if you posture a policy as benefiting specifically black people, people will not vote for it, even if it benefits them as well.
And Lee Atwater was an advisor for Ronald Reagan and
a business partner of Roger Stone and Paul Manafort. Mm-hmm. People don't know that. Mm-hmm. But let me address this. This I should have said first. Tina, stop giving to us on Patreon. If you are taking from your disability to give to fucking us, no, that we this is why we say what we say about giving to the show. If you can contribute to the show and it's money you're just throwing away, if it was going to be for coffee, but if you're on a fixed income and disability, no, we love you. We appreciate more than you can imagine your support. But no, take care of yourself. Use that money for something that is more important than this. Please. It's not a platitude. It's not a, oh, look at me being so selfless. Fuck that. Cancel your Patreon support. We are fine. Please.
Yeah, I really appreciate Tina's voicemail, and I've been telling a lot of people that there's many people in this country that don't have the luxury of giving up when I hear about people saying that they're done voting.
Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean a lot of marginalized communities who are going to suffer at the hands of Donald Trump's policies. And
would be doubly harmed by people stopping voting.
Right. And I think it's particularly incumbent upon, you know, white people, the majority of whom voted for Donald Trump, white men, white women,
mm-hmm.
To continue to push and stay engaged. I've seen a lot of people, particularly black women, in the activist spaces who are very angry and who are, you know, not saying that they're done, but that they're taking a break, that they, you know, don't want to attend marches, that they don't want to do this anymore. And there are so many people that have the right to be angry because they were not met with solidarity and they were let down once again.
Yeah.
And I totally understand that anger. And I think it's incumbent upon us, people who are in privileged positions in society.
That's a justified indignation.
To continue fighting.
Yeah.
Because we have to, you know. We
have no other choice.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that it feels pretty hopeless right now. And, you know, someone that I've really enjoyed watching always is AOC. But she did like a 50-minute live election during the election week. And it was like a therapy session watching her talk. And she did a Q&A last night in her Instagram stories. And she's a unique talent, as we know. But she's also going straight to the people to talk to the people right now in a way that I haven't really seen from a lot of politicians. And
isn't most what she's talking about like centered around power, actual political power, not just critique of power,
right?
But seeking out actual power to do good.
Right. Yeah. And she's not talking about that right now necessarily. She's talking a lot about taking care of yourself. We need to kind of reinvigorate. We need to get ready for what's to come. She's trying to fight the doom and gloom. But certainly, AOC gets a lot of criticism from the left for allying with people in the Democratic establishment, which is strange because I think more people should see it for what it is, which is power. And we, like I said, I'll say it again, I'll say it continuously. We need to build power in order to change people's lives. Yeah. If we don't have Democrats in elected positions, we aren't going to make progress. And I know there's some leftists hearing this who are like, what about Joe Manchin? What about Kristen Sinema? Yeah, we shit on them all the time. I want the most progressive candidates possible to be elected. During that 6-hour live stream, I probably spent 3 hours of it when I was talking about class solidarity, how we need to band together against these rich people like Elon Musk, who's now the de facto vice president, who's been at Mar-a-Lago every day since election night, helping Donald Trump make staffing decisions about his administration.
Getting on calls with world leaders.
Yeah, I mean,
as though he plays any role policy-wise whatsoever, or like he would or should under any normal circumstance.
Right. So I'm going to continue to talk about that because I think it's a large part of the problem and that people misunderstand what the government can do for them. Right. I keep hearing this line that people voted for Donald Trump because he's going to change the price of their groceries. Yeah. Good luck.
Right, right.
Good luck, bro. Good luck with that. We'll see. That's not how it works.
Yeah, I've been saying to mark on their calendars, put in their phone, find an image of it on social media of what the metrics were on November 6th, where the stock market was, what the price of gas was, what the price of food was. Remember that, because in a year, we'll have something to look back on. We'll have something to point to and say, look, now that it's likely that they have the House, they for sure have the Senate, and they have the White House. They can't fucking blame Democrats now. Their failures will rest squarely on their shoulders.
Yeah, that just made me think of another thing where class solidarity would also help from the realm of this desperation that people feel and being at odds with one another. And in order to protect themselves, they sacrifice everyone else, right? They sacrifice LGBTQ people, they sacrifice non-white people, they sacrifice women, and in order to protect themselves, when they're not really protecting themselves, but they think that they are. And if these people, right, if we built a society where we understood that we were all of us closer to becoming homeless than we were to becoming Elon Musk, and that we're all going to fall on hard times, but you know who's going to be there for you? Your government. And there's going to be government programs that help take care of you. And it's not your neighbor who's taking from you when his station in life improves and you're still stuck at the bottom. It's that we need to be doing more to help you.
Yeah.
Also be successful. Also not be struggling. So, you know, we'll continue to talk about these things as we go on, but thank you, Tina, for that voicemail. We have a few emails here. This one is from Chloe. Jesse Dollimore and Brittany Page, thank you for quitting Twitter because it makes it easier for other people to quit Twitter. My husband, Robert, has a coworker in her 20s, a young Swiftie who's scared. She said people are talking about getting their tubes tied and that the local Sam's Club Plan B shelves are sold out because people are all stocking up. And so I gave him a card to give her with these two quotes, and he asked to see it because he said she almost started to cry. So I'll give these quotes to you guys too. Quote, "Do not accept brutality and cruelty as normal, even if it is sanctioned. Protect the vulnerable and encourage the afraid. If you are brave, stand up for others. If you cannot be brave, and it is often hard to be brave, be kind." Sarah Kenzier. Another quote, "The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any." Alice Walker. Chloe.
Can I also just say that in the course of reading a lot of the defeatism, I'm seeing a lot of celebration from assholes as though might makes right, as though winning the election means Donald Trump was right about everything. Donald Trump's still wrong about everything. Donald Trump is still a rapist and a liar and an insurrectionist and a convict. He's still all those things. Just because the majority of American voters made this happen and ostensibly want it to happen doesn't mean it's the right thing. You know, lack of empathy, lack of love, lack of concern, lack of solidarity, lack of community is still something that's terrible and will harm all of us.
It's a Christopher Hitchens quote is, don't take refuge in the false security of consensus.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've challenged that already by saying that you were just talking about the voters, right? There's millions of Americans who did not even pay attention.
Right.
Don't even know what's going on.
I mean, Jimmy Kimmel, the day after the election, did a bit where they featured, I don't know, six or eight people who they asked, who are you going to vote for? This is the day after the election. They're, oh, Kamala Harris. Why? Oh, human rights. It's really important. And obviously, they didn't just, that wasn't the only six people they talked to. They probably talked to 100 people and then just played the six morons. But those people, they're part of the problem in their own way. Some of them might have some excuse because they're scratching out a living, like I said. But, you know, it's not the majority of everyone. It's just the majority of voters.
Yeah. So I think there are important things to consider in here. I don't think it is being reactionary or hyperbolic to go and talk to your healthcare provider about long-term birth control options. I don't think it is, you know, a scare tactic to tell people to go stock up on Plan B, to order abortion pills through aidaccess.org or plancpills.org in order to have them in case you need them. I think that we should actually be prepared for what the Republican Party told us that they are going to do. And
Comstock could be absolutely something that we're looking at in the coming early months of the administration.
Yeah, Donald Trump's top picks for attorney general have, the majority of them have talked specifically about Comstock. And so, you know, if you don't know what that is, I've done plenty of videos about it. You can go to my channel, watch in-depth coverage of it. But yeah, it's going to be scary related to abortion. And that's something I'm scared for. And so I definitely think if you can, please start thinking about ways to protect yourself over the next 4 years related to reproduction.
And if you have a few extra dollars, even if you don't, you'll never need it. Maybe pick some up. It has a 4-year shelf life, Plan B. Maybe pick up a few packs of it and, you know, have it on offer in case someone does need it.
Right. And yeah, we did quit Twitter. I haven't actually announced it on Twitter. I announced it on YouTube. But I'm bummed. I'm bummed that I had to quit Twitter. There's been a mixed response. A lot of people are like, what took you so long? Well, let me tell you what took me so long. Twitter has been the primary way that I connect with authors, researchers, academics. I just this month found a new reporter that I had never heard of who's coming out with a book in March about the working homeless. And I messaged him on Twitter and he's going to come on my channel for an interview. He sent me the book to read. I just last month connected with another notable academic who's on PBS NewsHour all the time. She has a book coming out next year. I'm going to have her on my channel. Like, there's an actual reason for me to be on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people that are in our space are actually using it for something. And so I'm heartbroken that it has become an absolute right-wing cesspool.
It's the Nazification of what used to be a critically important tool.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're not using it anymore. And
I'm still there because I need the account to be able to monitor what goes on. But I'm not posting. I'm not liking. I'm not using it.
Yeah. So we are on other social media. If you are, you know, hearing this and you're like, oh, I follow them on Twitter, or I'm going to miss them on Twitter or whatever, we are on Blue Sky with our same handles that we are everywhere, at Dollimore, at Brittany E. Page. We'll put the links in the description. We're on Threads, we're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, so you can connect with us there. And then we also have pages for the show, for I Doubt It Podcast. We have a Facebook page for I Doubt It Podcast and Instagram for I Doubt It Podcast, Threads for I Doubt It Podcast. So definitely follow us there. And yeah, so I have noticed that a lot of people are quitting Twitter.
Yeah, so that's what's ultimately going to happen, I think, is the more people who do quit, the less useful Twitter will be, and people will be forced to migrate to other sites like Blue Sky and Threads.
Right. Yeah. So thank you for that email. Here's another one from Sharon D. Good evening, Jesse and Brittany. I started watching you this summer and found your content really honest and informative. When I listen to you, Jesse, I feel like you really care about this country and what's going on. But now our biggest fear has become our reality. He's coming back. I don't understand how this happened, and I'm scared. I'm scared because a dear friend of mine received a text telling her to show up to pick cotton or something like that.
Yeah.
What is going on? Are people now so bold that now overt racism is in fashion? I'm a black woman who has children. What do I tell my kids? I'm venting to you, and I'm sorry. I know you may not know the answers either, but I feel you are good people, and I want you to know that I appreciate everything you stand for. Respectfully, Sharon D.
Sharon, thank you. I have no idea what you tell your kids other than encourage. Other than build in them a sense of devotion and love and loyalty to community and a sense of justice. How you do that, I don't fucking know. But we need a younger generation that is steely-eyed and ready for the fight ahead, because before you know it, I don't know how old your kids are, before you know it, they're going to be voting age. They're going to be activist age. And we need them.
Yeah, I mean, you did a video about that, the racist text that went out, I believe, didn't you?
Yeah, across many states. It wasn't isolated just here to Washington, D.C. Many states, and it was just black folks. So I don't know how they determined who was black on the receiving end of those text messages, but it was, you need to report for cotton-picking slave duty, and our executive slaves will pick you up and bring you. And then some of the text messages says, you're going to be a house slave. Some were field workers. It was disgusting. An assault. And it was, some of the texts were signed Trump administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Again, these motherfuckers feel emboldened because the majority of American voters voted for it. That cannot be allowed. No safe harbor for racists. It's more important to make these fucking Nazis afraid than it ever has been.
Yeah. I also want to say to Sharon D, I don't know how old your kids are, but it may just be useful to hear from black voices online too, right? And Jamil Bowie is one of my favorite political commentators.
Goddamn, he's so smart.
He is insanely smart. He just sat down for a segment with Adam Conover on YouTube, which was a really informative conversation, but he has a fantastic TikTok where he's, you know, always dressed in super cool clothes and walking around his like neighborhood just talking, you know, the camera about like history.
You love it because he looks like he's pulled straight out of a 70s. Like he wears like patterns, and it's not like 70s cut fit his clothes.
Yeah.
But it's certainly eclectic.
No, he dresses how I would dress.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Another one, Garrison Hayes.
Yeah, Garrison Hayes, obviously fantastic. And then also Oleyemi Olurin, I think is how you pronounce her name. Ole is, I think, what she goes by. And she is, I think she blew up after she had the debate with New York City Mayor Eric Adams
yeah,
on the Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club, yeah.
And she's fantastic. Another one. I
didn't know she was an immigrant.
Yeah, I've been following her posts really closely. She's on everything, Threads, YouTube. She has a YouTube channel.
Strong, confident fighter.
Yeah, and so I think there are...
We'll put her information and Garrison and Jamil Bowie in the show notes as well.
Yeah, I think there are important voices. And we've talked about this a lot, right? Diversifying the voices that you hear from online. And still, I mean, I've talked about that in a video, and I remember people, I was like, hey, yeah, put down below like the diverse voices that you're listening to. And not to, you know, besmirch anyone.
Yeah,
but
then when you specifically ask for, I'll be the one to besmirch.
Okay.
When you specifically ask for a diverse range of content creators, women, people of color, and then they list fucking me and Brian Tyler Cohen and David fucking Pakman. You missed the mark. You failed the assignment.
Yeah, and that's seriously what happened. I can't tell you how many comments I was like, let me know the diverse voices that you're listening to in the comments below. because I didn't want to spell out, like, this space is dominated by white men. What other people are you listening to? I didn't want to say it directly. I was trying to just be like, just generally, you know, who? And then people would seriously list, like, 10 white men. And, again, important voices online, for sure. I'm not trying to, you know, but...
Yeah, there's plenty of us.
But we... And I'll get comments on my YouTube all the time. Oh, I'm so happy that I found a woman who's talking about this stuff online. There's so few women doing this. And we need to diversify.
Yes.
Our online media diet, our independent media diet. So please, I'm going to link to these three people.
That's...
Track them down, find them.
That very thing is how I found Garrison Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
I was seeking out... diverse voices.
Right.
And I found him on YouTube.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I think we're going to read one more message here. And this is from a Patreon supporter, Sonia. Hi, I just wanted to say thank you for posting your Here's What's Next video. I'm going to pause and explain what that is. That's a video that Jesse did the day after Election Day. So actually, it wasn't true when I was rewriting history early on the show and said that the day after the election, we did nothing because...
Well, I wasn't going to. And then I sat down and wrote... It was a little scripted thing. It was like 4 minutes long.
Yeah, yeah.
But and, that was it.
Yeah.
That's all I did.
And it was a really great video. So that's what that's what's being referenced here. Back to the message. Much needed. I'm sticking around. So is my family. I also wanted to say that community building is going to be so important right now.
Yes.
I have met and talked with more of my neighbors in the last 2 weeks than I have in 6 years. In the last 24 hours, I've hugged neighbors who were previously strangers. This gives me hope. Thank you for what you do always and for your bravery now. United we stand.
Thank you.
I'm ending on this one on purpose because... You heard it here. Jesse and I have many feelings still. And the terror comes in waves. And we are...
Some of the terror came in waves during this episode that's going to get edited out. Because I'm flying off at the handle sometimes and having to be pulled back from the brink by Brittany Page.
Yes.
Justifiably so. So some of that's going to trickle out over the course of the next few months, probably.
Right.
But in a more measured, less possibly regrettable way.
Right. And I will say about this message, this Sonia, we're feeling a lot of things.
Yeah.
And this right here is aspirational for me. Because, you know, I've already talked about my frustrations with some of the people that I know personally. I'm frustrated with some of the people that I know personally. And I'm going to have to move forward with that. And I'm going to have to, you know, figure that out. And it's important to be in community with people, and we're going to have disagreements with people. And I'm not saying that if you're listening to this and you're, you know, Sharon D, that you go and seek out a Trump supporter who voted against your rights and who is putting your kids in danger, who's, you know, responsible for these texts about picking cotton. No.
To that point, also don't feel guilty about cutting the cord with the Trump supporter. If someone voted for Donald Trump in 2024, knowing who he was in 2020, knowing who he was in 2016, and still voted for him, they've earned it if you decide to cut them off. I've gone through and cut several, an aunt, several cousins, done. Fucking done. Not that I had any relationship with them, but I don't want to be connected to fascist enablers. Gleefully gloating about anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my shit.
I did the same, and there's a lot of criticism for that too, right? People will say that as white people, we have a responsibility to talk to our racist white family members, our racist white friends. I will say I've typically in the past, historically, been very anti deleting people that I disagree with. And
yeah, but it's not pineapple on pizza.
I used to...
It's human fucking rights.
Totally.
You know, I know you know.
I used to spend so much time debating online.
Yeah.
I used to spend so much time debating online. And
you still call it spending the time and not wasting the time.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I don't do that anymore, though.
You don't.
And I haven't done it for quite some time. And part of it is because I put myself out there in other ways, like here on the show, or I do YouTube videos, and then I kind of let my work speak for itself. And then I handle disagreement there if it's genuine. You know, if someone's like telling me I need cum in my eyes, I'm not responding to that, you know.
That's not a... That's a real thing.
But some of it is
in a YouTube comment.
Some of it is I don't particularly find it useful to engage or argue with people like from my hometown who haven't left in 20 years and who also haven't, you know, read a book in 20 years, and that's intentionally derogatory. And I just use social media differently now too, right? Where it's not really like personal for me anymore. And that will happen when Trump supporters threaten to rape and kill you. You become a little suspicious over what you share and what's going on. And you try to protect the people that you're close to as well and don't want to put them out there because you have dangerous people that are lurking on your pages.
Yeah.
And so we talk a lot about changing hearts and minds on this show. It's been like a mantra for a long time, and I'm still dedicated to that proposition. I recognize the limitations that are associated with that too. And I did delete people after the election. There was a guy that I knew from my past, and in his story, he put, you know, Russell Brand holding a MAGA hat. And Russell Brand is literally an accused child rapist.
Yeah.
He became a Jesus lover and is baptizing people in his underwear to try to save his ass because he's
insulate himself.
Accused of raping a child, a 16-year-old. And so, you know, am I going to waste my breath being like, hey, do you know that he's like a literal child rapist? Well, you're already celebrating that a rapist was elected. Where do I even begin? You know?
Yeah.
And so I think it's more useful to look at like how we're spending our time. And I don't know how to convince people that they should care about human rights if that's not something that they care about. And maybe like through osmosis and slowly like reading my posts or something, I don't think I can force it on anybody, mm-hmm. you know? All those debates that are going viral, the Jubilee debates, like, do those go anywhere? Are those changing hearts and minds? I don't know. I think these are important ongoing conversations that we're going to continue to have, but I think one thing that we need to do is like not turn on each other and try to believe that even if we're working from a position of being behind now and we lost, that we really need to band together and figure out how we're going to move forward, especially to protect vulnerable communities who are now at risk with Donald Trump's administration. And that should really be the guiding light. And that's going to be what we're focused on here. Yeah, we're going to talk about terrible stuff in the news. You know, our next episode will be a normal episode where we're talking about the news. But it won't just be that. You know, every episode we are dedicated to hearing from our listeners who help keep us in check, who help keep us aware of our biases, of what we need to be focusing on. And
including in this episode.
Yeah.
We still invite your critique.
Totally.
Invite your feedback.
Yeah.
657-464-7609. I doubt it at dollamore.com.
So stick with us. Or don't. Take a break.
Or don't.
And listen, if you're in a vulnerable financial situation, we've received several emails from people that are like, I'm scared for my finances. I need to take care of myself.
Cancel that Patreon.
One of the messages you should take away from this is to stop supporting us if that is a problem for you at all. It should be literally like Jesse said. It's like if you were going to buy us a coffee that month, if you have just money laying around that you are not going to put anywhere, it seriously.
If you have there's $3 on your nightstand that may have fallen on the bathroom ground and like may have pee on it, you're just going to throw away. That's the money we want from you.
Exactly.
Money that you don't fucking need that you're willing to throw away.
Yeah. Not literally, we should say. Please don't send us your piss money, your bathroom piss money, but yeah, that you're getting the idea. The idea
I
is right.
I speak in brilliant, flowery metaphors, Brittany Page.
Yeah, and listen, we, again, I don't want to keep going here, but, you know, back to class solidarity, we know what it is to be poor.
Yeah.
And not just poor kids, poor adults. And we are not currently in a financial precarious situation, and we are thankful for that. But very recently, we were.
Yeah.
And so I know what that is, and that's something that's always going to motivate us, is the class solidarity that we feel with poor and working class people. And, you know, I don't want to sit here and tell anyone how to spend their money, but if you're on disability and you have a limited income, please take
care. We are not the priority.
Please take care of yourself.
Yeah.
That's it.
We love and appreciate you. Again, if I didn't say it heartfelt or believable enough, we fucking love you and we appreciate you. And we're going through it too. We feel what you feel. No more, no less. We are going through it. We love this country. What it can be, what it should be. Again, we want to hear from you. 657-464-7609. I doubt it at dollamore.com. We'll see you next time for maybe a more normal episode. For Brittany Page, I'm Jesse Dollamore, and this has been I Doubt It.